Hello, hello. We are live. Happy Wednesday or happy Friday if you are listening to this as a podcast episode. More importantly than anything, happy Tortured Poets Department release week. I am like, it's like all that matters to me right now. Like that is all I'm thinking about. And so happy release week to those of you also celebrating. I want to talk about a bunch of random things today, to be perfectly honest with you. Like I was thinking about what I wanted to talk about for this particular episode and nothing, like no one thing necessarily like jumped out at me that I wanted to dive into, but there's a bunch of little things that are kind of firing me up, all message related. And so I decided I was just going to roll with it and go with it and talk to you about all the things and just kind of like see where we went here. And so the first thing, so I didn't sleep last night. It's day two of my period. I have a massive headache right now and I can never sleep for whatever reason, like during the beginning phases of my period. And so I was up all night thinking about what I wanted to talk about. My brain was racing. And the thing that kind of like came through for me was there's a little client situation that I have going on right now, like a sticky situation that does not feel good at all. And I feel very proud and I feel very, I was going to say grateful. I don't know if I would use the word grateful because I feel like it's been very intentional, like as opposed to it being lucky, but like I don't have a lot of drama in my business. I don't have unhappy customers. I don't have people who are like pissed off at me and want refunds, the other thing. Like that has not happened to me very often in my business at all. Right now, I am going through a sticky client situation that feels awful. It does not feel good for me. I'm sure it doesn't feel good for these particular people. This one particular person. And when I think about You're Fucking Welcome as like a podcast or as a show, one of the big things to me is like, you're fucking welcome for talking about this. I always, and I always want to be, and I feel like I always have been somebody who really prides themselves in being transparent with you and talking about the things that other people aren't talking about, or, you know, giving you kind of like a look behind the scenes and again, sharing the things that not everybody feels comfortable talking about. And so on one hand, I was like, you know what? Maybe I'm going to talk about this. Maybe I'm going to share this with you guys. And I think that I will do that eventually. But the truth is that I don't feel ready. I feel very clear that I am still in like an emotional and raw place around what is going on. I still feel hurt. I feel a little bit disrespected. I don't necessarily feel appreciated. And so while there are a lot of lessons that I think I could share with you about this, I have recognized within myself that like it's not quite the time yet. And so I'm going to hold off. But why I'm saying that to you is for really two core reasons. Number one, I think that in the online space, it can be a confusing thing. And I've had this conversation with many clients where, when do you share? When are you transparent? When are you open and honest? Do you share when you're going through something? Do you share when you're experiencing something negative? Like how vulnerable should you be? How open, how honest? And you know, if you want to still be the leader, do you share everything that's going on behind the scenes? And the thing that always comes through for me that feels really important is that like, is the wound open or closed? Is it a situation where I am still in my emotions about this, or have I moved on and do I only have the lessons to share with you? And I think there was part of me, and I'm not necessarily proud to say this, but I wanted to be transparent about it, that there was part of me that was feeling like from a very egoic place or almost from maybe like this place of wanting to like get your validation that I did the right thing. I wanted to share all of it with you. And I wanted to like be as transparent as possible. But again, it was from this egoic place rather than this purposeful place. And in asking myself that question of like why I wanted to do this, I really had to acknowledge within myself that again, this wound is not quite closed yet. And therefore it's not time to talk about it. And so again, I wanted to share that with you because I think a lot of people confuse that online and think that I don't want to say that I see a lot of people showing up as like hot messes. While at the same time, I think that if you're constantly sharing with your audience that you're going through something or you're struggling with something and you're doing it from this emotional perspective, I do think, I don't want to say it does, but I think it can water down your authority and water down your power. And so I think it's really important to acknowledge and to be clear and understand where you're coming from when you're about to share those things. And again, making sure that you're on the other side of it before you do. So again, I will share that with you, but I'm just not quite ready to. But like I said, I felt like that in and of itself was an important lesson. But the other part of this that I wanted to share, and again, just because it's like coming up for me and I've had a couple conversations about this over the past few days with clients, like I said, I have had very little drama or just bad customer situations in my business. Like considering how long I've been in business, there have been very few issues, but I've had them. And I know, like all of you, like I have definitely been rocked by those moments. I have conversations with women all the time who they had one bad client 2 years ago, 5 years ago, and it haunts them. They feel like this person's going to come out of nowhere and attack them, or they feel like they are less of an authority or less of a leader or less of a powerful entrepreneur because they experienced that thing. And I just want to say to you that, like, maybe people leaving your space, maybe people needing refunds, if that's happening all the time, if you're getting ghosted all the time, if you're having these issues that are consistently popping up, that's one thing. But as business owners, it's going to happen to each and every one of us. And that's all there is to it. And the person who tries to act like they've never had a client issue probably hasn't been in business that long. And so I think that this is something among a lot of entrepreneurs, especially people with personal brands who they are their business, it A, is so personal, but B, then because it is so personal, there's a lot of shame often attached and feeling like, oh, I did something wrong. I can't talk about this openly, or not even openly, like in terms of content, but like, I don't want to tell my friends this. I don't want to tell my peers this because they're going to think like I didn't do my job. And again, I just wanted to say to you and remind you that like anybody who has been in business for any decent amount of time has had an unhappy customer or client, has had an issue with somebody or something. And I'm not saying that we should strive towards that, but I also think that it's important for you to not take it on so personally and make it mean a ton about not only who you are as a leader or a coach or a service provider or whatever, but also about what is possible for you as you move forward. Again, finding this balance of like not necessarily normalizing it, but also knowing that you're not alone in experiencing it. And so again, I wanted to share that with you because I don't know, I have like pretty thick skin. And I'm pretty good in terms of like upholding boundaries or not letting people push me around. But this particular situation I'm going through, like it messed me up. Like it messed me up all weekend. It's been messing with my sleep. Like it doesn't feel good. I don't like feeling like I did something wrong. I feel very clear that in this situation, I did not do anything wrong. I have asked friends. I have asked people, like just business associates that I have. Like I have looked at this every which way. And I feel super certain that I did not do anything wrong. But I also hate the idea that somebody thinks I do. And so it's uncomfortable, right? And I know a lot of you have less thick skin than I do. And so again, I wanted to say to you that like this happens for all of us and you're not alone. One thing that I always say and I try to remind myself of is that if something happens one time, again, I'll have conversations with women who something happens one time and they'll be in this position where they're like, how did I attract this? Why did this happen? And they'll go into this like really deeply analytical place around making sure that it never happens again. And there's validity to that, of course. But my whole vibe or my whole thought process for myself is like, I'm only going to worry about something like that if it happens multiple times, if it happens continuously. And again, I wanted to say that to give you that kind of like reminder and that gauge to kind of put any situation like that through your filter and decide what we have to kind of like analyze and worry about and what is just, okay, this is random. This is weird. I can chalk this up to this never happening again and moving through it quickly instead of letting it linger. So I wanted to say that first thing. And again, I want to talk about like a couple of random things today based on what was firing me up. The second thing that I want to talk about is, what's the second thing? Do I want to talk about the second or third? The second thing that I want to talk about is kind of a continuation of what we talked about last week in terms of, you know, your audience not being in charge, your audience not being able to decide what it is that you're going to say, how you're going to say it, and letting them bully you in a lot of cases. Like, especially if you look at something like TikTok, I feel like there are a lot of fucking bullies on TikTok that are just deciding what their audience, you know, what the people that they're following should or shouldn't say, as if it's their platform and not the creator's platform. But I wanted to continue that conversation because I saw this TikTok the other day where it was a stitch, or no, it wasn't a stitch. It was this woman talking about a particular creator on TikTok who is, I don't know if she's actually like a dating coach, but she gives a lot of like dating advice or like tidbits or, you know, just like pieces of knowledge and inspiration or like reframes, like things like, you know, here's how to like own your worth or here's how to respond to this person if they're, you know, ghosting you, whatever, or not respond, you know what I mean? And I think I'm not super familiar with the creator, but I think she's like 40 something. Apparently she just like broke off an engagement. She's single. And so the video that I saw was this woman saying, not, she wasn't naming the creator by name. She was saying, you know, I think it's really weird that you have like creators on here, specifically this 40-year-old woman who is single, not engaged, sitting there giving all this dating advice and people are listening to her, but like she's not experiencing the fruits of her labor. Like she's not walking her walk. She's not talking her talk. And the girl, the creator, her name is Courtney. I think her name is Courtney, the girl, the creator. I follow her, but I'm like spacing on her name. I think it's Courtney, again, period brain. But she stitched it. And number one, it was just a really lovely response. Like I really appreciate a good rebuttal that comes from a respectful, kind place versus like getting vicious or feeling like you have to take somebody down or being super defensive. Like it was very lovely. It was very, to go back to the first point, it was very clear that like she was not responding from this place of wounding. She was responding from this place of like neutral energy, which is the goal for all of us. But she was just like, you know, I'm sharing my experience. I'm sharing, you know, what I've been through, what I've learned. That doesn't mean that I have it right. That doesn't mean I'm like completely perfect, but I am sharing with the world like what I have learned. And it just got me thinking about the reminder for all of you that I understand that it can be potentially damaging to have so many people on, let's just say TikTok, an app like TikTok, giving out advice, mental health advice, dating advice, health advice. There is absolutely the side of that that is a little bit dark, that is people just spewing content, spewing information, saying things that they don't necessarily have any business saying, that they're not educated in, that they don't have certifications in. Like you're definitely going to see the people who are throwing out health advice that are, God knows, not doctors or not certified in any old thing. And again, there is that dark side to it. While at the same time, I feel like I can go on TikTok and get so many beautiful takeaways or light bulbs and things that feel like they really inspire me. And I think that number one, the good outweighs the bad over there. And again, I'm just saying TikTok, but like just in this world of like all of this free content that's at our fingertips and everyone's an expert and everyone's like dishing out advice. I think that there's more good than there is bad to it in my view, in my opinion. But I think the other thing that we all have to be aware of, and like I said, this is like a continuation of what we were talking about last week, is that like I have so little patience for somebody who is not going to take responsibility for not only the information or the tips, advice that they're following, meaning like following, like actually taking action on, but just following, like literally in general, following somebody. Because it's a situation where if you, let's just say you're a single person and you want to get married, and you want to listen to this particular, not that she like helps people get married, but I'm just saying it for the case of, for the sense of simplicity here. If you are somebody who wants to listen to that person share her tips and advice where she's like, okay, you know, I was engaged. This has been my journey. This is what I've learned. And you want to listen to that person. She's saying who she is. She's owning it. She's not sitting there trying to act as though I'm like a certified marriage counselor or I'm a doctor in this, that, the other thing. This is just a girl who is openly and honestly sharing her journey, what she has learned. And so if you want to listen to just that girl next door or that every type of person, you can do that. And there's a lot of value with that. Or if you want to decide that you want to hire or follow the doctor or the psychologist or the certified person, you can also decide that. But we all have free will. And again, I'm saying that to you specifically because I think that I'd like to believe that the nuance to what I share a lot of times, the stories, the moments of like, oh, okay, I was struggling with this and this is what I figured out, or this is how I did this, or this is how I overcame that. I think that those little small points are the most valuable parts of what I do, what you do as well. And that is not invalid just because I don't have a perfect business or just because I'm not living a perfect life. I am, God knows, not a dating coach. God knows. While at the same time, if I compare myself to a few years ago, I know a lot more than I did then. Now, I have a lot to share. I have a lot of tips. I have a lot of lessons that I've overcome. Me sharing those lessons, especially from an honest, value-oriented place, like from a purposeful place where I'm sharing these things because I wish I knew them then, I think that is, again, such a valuable thing. And I think we're so lucky to be like living in this age where we have at our fingertips all of that content available to us. And the idea that like we think anyone thinks that they can hold who they follow to these impossible perfect standards, it all just feels so silly to me. And again, I'm bringing this up specifically because I know that I will have a lot of conversations with a lot of you with things like, okay, well, I'm not, you know, certified. I don't have like a certification in coaching, or I'm not this, or this person has this education. You are who you are. You have the certifications you do or you don't. You have the education that you do or you don't. Just like with so many other things, it is your job always to honor who you are, honor where you are, and be okay with what is not true about you or is not the actual thing that you do, knowing and trusting that the right people will resonate with you and the wrong people, not that they're wrong, but the other people who want, again, somebody who is giving out that type of dating advice to turn into marriage, they want to listen to somebody that's married. Okay, cool. Then you go follow that person or you go listen to that person. And I'll be here on my corner of the internet saying what I believe and saying what I've experienced for the people who value it. And this idea that, again, so many people want to like decide that somebody's advice is not worthy or is not important or shouldn't be out there just because it doesn't resonate with them is so wild and so confusing to me. And again, I'm not saying that to like rant about it as much as I'm reminding you that people are assholes and a lot of people have opinions and a lot of people want the world to cater to them and they want only the information that they want to hear. And those people, like as this example, this person is acting as though this creator is wrong for how she's doing things. Whereas I also know that that creator has probably helped so many people in so many valuable, massive ways. Like I know that I am so grateful to so many people in general, and it didn't mean that they had to have a perfect relationship or a perfect business in order to give me really great, valuable lessons or advice. And so again, I wanted to say that because that is absolutely the truth for you. As I've said a million times, your only job is to share your truth, your experience, the way that you see things, the way that you've experienced things. And it's your job to own who it's for, who it's not for, and be okay with all of it. And again, I know we talked about that last week, and it's an ongoing thing with me in terms of just things I believe and also conversations that I'm having, but I'm so sick and tired of seeing so many of you being afraid or worried to just show up fully as who you actually want to be or say what you want to say because of the people who criticize. And I'm always trying to remind you that, like, in my view, in my opinion, so much of that criticism is not valid in the first place. And I hopefully want you to like allow that to feel it, to make it all feel a little bit less scary for you to show up and do what you need to do. The third thing, which again, these all feel like kind of random and not connected, but they are. I'm having a conversation with a client, a similar conversation with two different clients. And one of the things that I do in a lot of my programs, which many of you are familiar with, is I teach you how to create an offer map. And I'm not going to show you how to do that visually on this because sharing a screen is a nightmare on these apps, but also just because this is a free training and obviously some of you might be listening. Most of you will be listening to this as a podcast. But if we were to visualize this for a moment, number one, I view this as a packing list. That's the way that I've described it a lot of times. It's a situation where if you are going into a launch of an offer, whether it's something that you have launched a million times or if it's something that you're launching for the first time, I like having this offer map or packing list where it's a situation where I feel armed as I go into it, right? I know who this offer is for. I know what the main points are. I know what the things that I need to really worry about are. Here are some marketing things that I want to say, and I feel prepared with those things. When it comes time to actually post or send emails or launch the thing, obviously I can go ahead and add in a new email if I want to, or I can change this topic. So again, I compare it to a packing list in the sense that like if you're going on a trip to Paris, okay, you might have a packing list. And that way the 2 weeks before you're actually going on the trip, you're not sitting there being like, oh, I can't forget the, you know, the electric, the converter. I don't want to forget my bathing suit and all those things. Or lingering in your mind for a few weeks and feeling really heavy and just anxious. You know how that feels when it's like lingering and hanging over you. But instead, you have that packing list. And then when it's time to pack, you might pack an extra dress. You might pack an extra pair of shoes. You can adjust what you actually put on that list. But still, you feel prepared. And I believe deeply, 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 deeply that all of you, if you're selling something, but especially those of you that are selling things over and over again, like if you're in a situation where it's the third year of you selling this offer or second year or whatever, of selling this offer, and you don't have that for yourself, I think you are making your job so much harder And as much as I want to see so many of you make more money, because that's true and that's valid, and I absolutely want to see that, I also want to see so many of you not reinventing the wheel as much as you are. And so again, an offer map, the way that if we want to visualize this here, on the top, we have, it's like a mind map thing, the way that I hand it out. I give you like templates and stuff in a couple of my programs. But up top, we always have obviously the title of the program. That's simple. That's straightforward. Underneath that, we have the description of the offer. This is where I want to encourage each and every one of you to be able to describe any of your programs, but especially those that you are familiar with and you have launched time after time. I want you to be able to describe your offer in one sentence, maybe two. It blows my mind, and not because I feels like that feels like a rude thing to say, and I'm not like beating you up about this, but it blows my mind how often I will have a conversation with somebody who I can ask them a question about what they're selling, and they can't describe it to me. They can't just in a straightforward way explain to me what it is they're selling and what it does for people. They can't describe to me what it is, who it's for. They're like all over the place. And I just, again, from like just like a very basic perspective, I want you to understand how deeply that is hurting you when you're expecting to have a flawless launch or get lots of sales and you yourself are not so solid on what it is this program does for people. So again, I always want to encourage you to have a descriptive sentence that it's not about you saying it the exact same way or having this like elevator pitch, but it is about you being able to describe at any given time, this is what this program does. This is where this program gets somebody at the end of it. So again, we always narrow it down to one sentence, maybe two, about what this offer is. From there, and again, if you can visualize this, off of there, we have six lines, okay? So it's like one, like across the piece of paper, six lines. And it doesn't have to be six. You can always, you know, pick the number that you want. If it's four, if it's seven, it doesn't have to be six. I start with six, then I kind of go from there. But this is the important part. What I do is I make sure that I am very, very, very clear on the six most important pain points or island A's or struggles. So what I mean by that is, as many of you have heard me say a million times, our job essentially is to be the boat, right? Our ideal clients are on island A. They want to be on island B. And our job always is to be the boat with our offer to show them that we can get them from island A to island B. Therefore, we have to understand the journey that they're going on, right? We have to know where they are before on island A, and we also need to know where they are on island B. I made a post about this the other day, but I think this is like so important. For years, I've been selling a program called the 500K Sales System. It's my best-selling program. It's the program that's made me the most money. It's an excellent program. It's one that I'm very proud of. I found myself for a while there, because the program is so big and there's so much content, there's so many things that I talk about in it, I found myself when I was going to launch it, talking about so many different things. Like I was going way too wide because again, there was so much content within the program and I, putting pressure on myself, would often feel like I've got to say more. I've got to say all the things. I've got to make sure I really prove why people should buy this. And it took me quite a while to understand that actually I was doing myself a disservice by doing that. I was going way too wide. I was talking about too many things and I was losing the point, right? Like I was losing the plot. I was getting away from what the purpose of this program was, but also not only the main purpose of what the program was, but why people actually bought. So again, I'm bringing this up for two reasons. If you are somebody who is selling something for the first time, I think it's really important to have this. But especially if you are somebody who is selling something over and over again, I want to beg you here to really be clear on what the main points of this offer are and who it's for and like what, again, those pain points or those, the struggles, the befores, so that you, like I said, A, are getting more sales so that we're actually articulating properly and powerfully what it is our actual offer is and why people should buy it, but also so that you're not reinventing the wheel the next time you launch it, You are going to be better off saying the same things about the program basically every time you launch it when you know why people buy it versus trying to say more things and again, going wider. So if we're looking at this offer map, the top, again, let's start with six. We have six of those pain points slash island A's slash struggles, right? From there, underneath there, and again, if we're visualizing this, they're connected underneath. Underneath, we have the opposite of those things, right? So the island A, then the island B. And I think this is so incredibly important because I see a lot of you will just do, I hate, this is a whole other conversation we don't have time for today, but I hate the whole idea of like pain point marketing is out. Like, no, it's not. Like, of course, people are always going to resonate with understanding that if they have a problem, and there's a solution, they want to pay attention to it. Like, I think speaking to what people are struggling with or those pain points is always relevant. But I see a lot of you only focusing on pain points or only focusing on desires. And so often I find that people are not closing the loop. They're not continuing the conversation. They're not saying like, okay, you're struggling with this, but here's how it could be different. Here's where you can be after the program. Here's what is going to change for you by signing up for this offer. And we have to be clear about both points of that transformation. So again, for any, if I'm going into a launch of the 500K sales system, I know, especially from running that program so many times, I am very clear on, and I've narrowed it down to what are the six most important transformations that I have to focus on as I'm talking about this program, rather than talking about all the ways that they could transform, because I'm just going to confuse people. At best, I'm going to confuse people. At the best, I'm just going to lose people because I'm not powerfully marketing the powerful points over and over again. I'm not being repetitive. I'm not being consistent with the messaging. And so again, it's not even that that might not confuse people as much as I'm not giving them something to sink their teeth into as much as I could if I was being more repetitive with the main points of the offer. And so again, being able to say like, okay, this program, I know why people buy this the most. And these are the points that I'm going to hammer home over the course of 2 weeks, 3 weeks, over and over again. And again, to use the example of the 500K sales system, such a big reason that people buy the 500K sales system. And again, this is a program that I've been selling for years and years before, you know, I don't know. I feel like no sales call has become a much more popular thing, but like I was talking about that years and years ago. And a big reason why people would buy a 500K sales system was because I had not done sales calls for a really long time. And I knew that, right? I knew that that is why people bought the program. So I'm not just going to say that one time. I'm not going to kind of sort of mention it. I'm going to be very intentional about this is a core reason why people buy. And so where is that person before? They're struggling with the sense that they're chasing down one-on-one clients. They don't like the fact they always have to get on sales calls with people who may or may not buy from them. Where are they after in that mind map? Okay, after it, they're selling things all the time. They're doing X, Y, Z. They're not having to just focus on one-on-one clients or just focus on sales calls in order to make money. I know where they are before, where they are after, and then I'm going to give myself permission to pull out of that transformation more marketing points that I can speak to during the course of the launch that are going to get people to pay attention. Then I'm going to translate that to different types of content. So maybe let's just talk about Instagram for a second. Maybe that means I'm doing a reel of like, or a carousel, whatever, like want to stop doing sales calls. These are the first three things you have to do, or how I stop doing sales calls. But then maybe it's also an engagement story where I'm like, are you still doing sales calls? Do you hate them? And I'm getting people to engage based on that conversation. Again, I'm not just going to say this one very important thing that actually gets people to buy this program one time. I'm going to use that really core point multiple times throughout the launch so I can keep making my point around why this program is going to get you where you want to be. To stop doing sales calls, to be able to make money all the time without necessarily feeling like you have to do them. And so again, 6 points, right? Like I said, I use four, you could do eight, like it does not have to be six, but I think six is such a good starting point for you to go into any launch armed, right? You are armed with what you need to be focusing on. And I'm bringing this up because I've had conversations with clients this week and all the time where they're selling things and it's still this last minute vibe. And don't get me wrong, like I can definitely be a last minute person. But the last thing I want for so many of you, especially if you've been doing this for a while, is for you to be operating in your launch on a day-to-day basis, not sure what you're going to be talking about, or more than that, not sure what is going to actually get people to pay attention and move. I want you to be that intimately familiar with your offer, especially if you're selling it year after year, that you know it so freaking well that, again, you know what to talk about, you know what to focus on, you know what to highlight when it comes to your marketing, and you know what's going to actually get people to move. And so I'm bringing that up and really everything that we talked about today. Like I said, I know that they're kind of like disconnected, but this is all messaging, right? I know that messaging, people have like different definitions for messaging, or when we think about messaging, we all think about it in a different way. To me, for the most part, especially when it comes to what I do, I focus on messaging from an offer perspective, right? Okay, what is the core point of this offer? What does it do for people? Who is that ideal client for? We're really clear on that on an internal basis, right? Like we're clear on it before we start marketing it. And then off of that offer map or off of how we're structuring that offer, we're then figuring out what we need to talk about to get people to move and to pay attention strategically and intentionally throughout the course of our marketing. Then obviously I always want to incorporate the audacity part of all of this, right? The unapologetic part of this, where are you talking about things that you really believe in? What do you really want to say? What do you really want to share? Are we beating around the bush? Are we just keeping it super vanilla and vague because we're afraid? And this is why I'm really so excited about Impact, my new mastermind, is the best of all of this, right? I'm not saying we're only talking about messaging and offers in there, because the joke that I make all the time is like, if you want to come on a call with me and talk to me about your dog, you can talk to me about whatever you want. If we're on a call, I'm here to answer the questions that you have. I'm not here to like police or to tell you what you can or cannot ask me. Like that's never my goal, especially on something like a mastermind. But this for Impact, I just feel like what I'm talking about so often with people is the messaging behind their offer, the messaging behind what they're saying to sell that actual offer, not necessarily their messaging from an overall business perspective, although we can talk about that too. Again, we're attacking it most of the time when I'm talking to people from on an offer by offer basis. And so I wanted to create something that felt really easy to say yes to and helpful for being able to support you and guide you on that rather than it just being one-on-one. And so again, this is a mastermind. There are a total of, it's three of my former clients. And so I opened up 12 spots to it. So it'll always be a maximum of 15 people. I won't allow more than 15 people into this. And I think we've got like six or so spots filled right now. I have to double check seven spots filled. And it closes next Friday. But essentially you get, number one, a 30-minute one-on-one call with me every single month, which is a big deal. We have hot seat weekly coaching calls on Fridays at 10 a.m. Pacific, where everybody gets about 10 minutes with me, depending on how many people are on the call. I want it hot seat. It's not like if you want to talk, like everyone's talking, everyone's sharing with me what they need to share with me, what they want guidance or support on, ideas on when it comes to their offer or when it comes to their content. We also have feedback hours each week, which I think is going to be a really exciting part. I've never done something like that before, where you can either come live or submit content ahead of time that I'm happy to give you feedback on. So if it's a sales page, if it's an email, I'm happy to read through it. I'll do it on Zoom, so it'll be recorded for you to see not only feedback on your stuff, but on everybody's stuff. Then also like a private Facebook group for questions in between, all that kind of stuff. And the price is really a no fucking brainer. The price is $1,000 a month, or there's an option to pay in full for 6 months for $55.50. And, you know, as I've always liked to do, and also I've always shared, I love working with people at every level. Like I don't just want the mastermind of people who are making like $250K. I don't want that. Like I love helping people at all different price points, at all different levels of business. And so I love that Impact is an option that is available at a really accessible price point. Again, $1,000 a month to have that much access to me is a really, really no-brainer, like beyond a no-brainer. But more than that, that you have the opportunity to have like that high-level coaching at every single level of your business and have, again, access, like just feedback on your content or support on your content, support on your offers in a way that's not this big group, but it's also not the price tag of, you know, a one-on-one thing. So doors close next Friday for that, sarah-jan.com, as always, for all of the details. If you have questions on it, feel free to message me or email me, whatever, and I can get back to you and let you know if I think you're a good fit for it. But I'm really excited about it. I'm really, truly excited to kick it off and to get moving with this. And so, of course, if you are somebody who needs help from that offer map perspective, knowing in a really solid way what your offer is, what you need to say about it, or just stepping it up with how you say those things, right? Owning your message, owning the non-vanilla way that you want to share. I think it's a good fit for you all around in that way. And I feel very sure and very certain that it will help you massively with all of that. And so again, sarah-jan.com to get the details for that. And I'll talk to you guys next week.
I hope you enjoyed this episode, and if you did, I would really, really, really appreciate it if you took the time to rate, review, and subscribe. It really helps the show a ton, and I would be super grateful.